Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Josh, my friend. Now, we talked, or you guys talked about, you and Benroy talked a little bit about the Last of Us remake and Last of Us 3 being a thing, you know, sort of a week ago or whatever, but there's been more information in regards to what the Last of Us remake is actually going to be. And it's either for better or worse. Depends where you come down on the whole idea of a Last of Us remake in the first place. Now, this initially came from Bloomberg with Jason Schreier writing up a report on Sony's inner workings, how they're favoring, you know, remakes and sort of trusted projects, things that they can get off the ground, like a new Uncharted, like a remake of the Last of Us. And there is more information from Game Reactor, saying that this won't be a simple improvement of resolution, frame rate, and textures. Naughty Dog is going to really take advantage of the PlayStation 5's power and features with The Last of Us Part 2's engine. Not just in terms of graphics, but a few other things as well. Now, we can get to the other things in a bit, but I guess maybe it was always like an obvious thing to go for, but what do you think of them ostensibly remaking Last of Us 1 using Part 2's engine?
I mean, it is weird, isn't it? Like, I mean, I'm going to buy it. I'll probably buy it day one and enjoy it, but it is a bit odd to do it so soon after not only, like, the game came out in 2013, so it's not even 10 years old. But then
it
got a recent...
It is weird that it's 8 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, time is ridiculous at this point, you know, and time is a flat circle, all that stuff. And then it got a remaster, like, the year afterwards, and it's still really relevant, you know? A lot of people are still playing it, a lot of people are still buying it, a lot of people are still, you know, enjoying that original Last of Us. And for some people, it's, like, a flawless game, you know? It's one of the best games of all time. It's one of the most critically... received games of all time, and it mostly holds up well. You know, I went back to replay it before playing Last of Us 2 last year, and I was surprised at how well it held up in some areas and how there was room for improvement in other areas, in my opinion. But yeah, generally speaking, it is a strange move, but obviously it is one of the best games of all time, so people will buy it. So I guess from a business perspective, you know, it probably does make sense to them.
Well, it makes like business sense because they have the Last of Us TV show coming up, and like assumedly, if you were, you know, Jimmy Business, if you were literally Jim Ryan, who I'm going to refer to now as Jimmy Business, then you would be thinking, what can we put out alongside the Last of Us TV show that sort of like, you know, works for the PlayStation ecosystem, brings people back into the game side of things, or, you know, just kind of works as the a circular way of enjoying The Last of Us. You have the game, you have the TV show. Maybe then you funnel that back into Part 2 sales. Maybe you sell them as a bundle or whatever. I think that was the initial idea on the Bloomberg report. Because apparently this idea of remaking The Last of Us came from... it was like Naughty Dog needed something to do while Neil Druckmann and the rest of the creatives think of what their next big project's going to be. And the remake started with, I think it was Sony Bend, or there was like that smaller team. And then Naughty Dog slowly got put onto it in full. And so it seems like it's kind of started as just this... way to fill time that's become this full project, you know, over time. But yeah, I mean, I guess that, like I said, it makes business sense to have something alongside the TV show. I don't know, it's weird because when I start looking at it, and I'm like, oh, it came out in 2013, that is 8 years ago. Is that long enough for an entire generation of people or an entire generation of players to not bother checking it out in the first place and to be waiting for, I mean, who hasn't played the original Last of Us at this point? Like, what are you waiting for? And would they be put off in such a core way by the version that exists as it is? Like, that just seems crazy to me.
I wonder whether, you know, like you said, you know, this project didn't start in Naughty Dog. I think it was the San Diego studio, actually, before they kind of, like, it was taken off their hands. Yeah, and Naughty Dog were kind of just, you know, coming on to collaborate, and now it is a full Naughty Dog production. So I wonder whether they're, like, looking at, you know, the criticisms they did receive for the game and their previous games in general, and the big focus has been on combat in Naughty Dog games. Like, I've always thought it was pretty good, but it is the one thing that constantly crops up, especially in regards to The Last of Us 1, where, you know, you have a vocal group of people who say, yeah, I love the story, yeah, I love the characters, yeah, I love the world, but I don't like playing it. I would rather watch it. So I wonder whether they're kind of, you know, like you say, they're in this position where they're in pre-production on a few things, but nothing in full production. So you've got a lot of people with time on their hands, and they've gone, well, we've got this engine, we're going into the next gen, why don't we do for the next gen what we did with The Last of Us Remastered, which, you know, they cited as giving them a foothold in the PS4 era, like getting them to grips with some of the... you know, some of the technology before they made Uncharted 4 or whatever. And I wonder whether that's kind of a similar situation here, where they're like, well, we can harness the power of the PlayStation 5, almost get like a practice run of what we want to do with the PlayStation 5 on this remake that's not going to be, you know, as demanding as a full project, and then take what we've learned to whatever is currently in pre-production. When you think about it that way, I do think it is a sound move, and like you say, it gives people something to do, it lets them get to grips with the tech and stuff, but, you know, I feel like The Last of Us One, like you say, if you haven't played it at the moment, like, who is waiting for a remaster? And I think that's the thing.
No, there are a few games.
No one's asking for it. There are a few games from, you know, throughout history that I'm kind of like holding off playing because I do think there's going to be a remaster of them. But The Last of Us, it would never be one of them, man, for my friend.
No. But is it, I mean, there's also, I mean, like I said, maybe it just makes perfect business sense. You know, you have the younger character models of Joel and Ellie from the flashback sequence in 2, so it's like, assumedly, you wouldn't then remake them again, you can just use them again. Plus, to pick apart the thing from here about what other things are going to be tweaked, alongside the whole, you know, I guess, graphical overhaul using the different game engine, it's going to feel different as a game. Do you think it'll have, like, Last of Us 2 style combat? Maybe they give Joel, like, a jump button because that was one of the big things in part 2. Or, like, you know, maybe you expand the crafting system, or I guess it's just a case of trying to bring the combat system up to speed to where it is in 2, because 2 has such a fluid, kind of scrappy kind of sensibility, like you're right there in the middle of those encounters. And I don't think they would go as far as, you know, adding sort of different ways to get around in those environments. Like in 2, you can sidle in between like a bookcase while you're inside like an interior or something, or you can duck under a fence or something like that, all the crouching and crawling stuff. I would be amazed if they went that far. But I guess it's just like when you think of The Last of Us, I know both of us are obviously big fans, lol the shit, but like, I don't even know what you do with it. Like, I would hope that they don't do anything with the acting performances. I think that they're perfect. No. I would hope that they have all of the motion capture data, the facial data and everything right there, so that it doesn't require a Spider-Man PS5 style thing where they have to go back in and redo the faces or redo the performances. Because like I said, to me, it's a perfect game. Like, I'm not someone who needs this at all and was not asking for it. So I'm kind of like, how do you justify the money? Because it's not like it's going to be cheap either.
Well, this is the thing, you know, I'm coming at this from a perspective of it's definitely happening, and I can come on videos and be like, I don't want it to happen, but it is. Yep. So I'm going to try to at least offer like what I do want to see from it, the things I do think they can improve and stuff. And yeah, I think you're totally right. I don't want them to touch the script at all, even if this TV show is coming out that's going to expand on scenes we didn't see or scenes we did see. Like, I think the script is stellar. I think the performances are stellar. I wonder whether they get the original actors back in to do not new lines, but new mocap, because obviously the facial technology has come so far between The Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2, and they don't really need to do it, but they could alter those facial performances to be more nuanced and more emotive in a way. I do think they will take a lot of The Last of Us Part 2's combat mechanics and implant them in 1, because, you know, a lot of people are critical of The Last of Us Part 2, and they say that, you know, there's no difference between the combat in 1 and 2. And I remember booting up 2 for the first time reviewing it and kind of thinking the same thing and being like, they haven't changed much here. This feels really familiar. But going straight from 2 back into 1, it's night and day. Like, to me, it is really a huge jump. And I do think you can do a lot of work to, you know, alter the combat in The Last of Us Part 1 and the combat scenarios, you know, to make them a bit more dynamic, a bit more fluid, and, you know, incorporate some of those mechanics that were introduced into 2, and especially the fluidity, because if you watch, like, The Last of Us Part 2 in motion from a moment-to-moment gameplay perspective, you know, people have cut together great montages, and even now, like, a year later, we're still finding out moves that Ellie can do that we didn't even know were in the game, you know, when they first launched, so there's, like, so much more depth and nuance to it, in my opinion, that I don't think it necessarily gets credit for, and I do think you can kind of make The Last of Us 1 more dynamic by including that stuff.
Well, the thing that stands out to me is like the fact that you think of like a really reactive combat model. You think of Doom, you think of Returnal, and those things will prioritize like button presses above all else. You can cut off animations while you dash out of something or you move from one place to the next. It is as responsive as you need it to be based on when you're pushing the buttons. Last of Us Part 2, for the most part, achieves that, but with animation priority, which I always thought was just mind-blowing. Like whatever you need to transition between, they've designed that. You know, whether it's going from a crouch down to being prone, just jumping straight through a window into an attack animation, into shooting someone, into finishing someone else off, like whatever. All those different moves, all those different weapons, everything comes together, and I love that. And that's the thing that I think you would assume that they would carry across onto Part 1 and will be able to sort of make it work in those environments in Part 1. One last thing, what do you think it kind of means for Naughty Dog as a studio? Because I think that for me, and I guess for both of us, we both grew up with Naughty Dog as the Crash and the Jak and Daxter team, and then it was a great sort of pivot into like big swashbuckling Uncharted style adventures, you know, pioneering those kind of adventures in game. And then they did The Last of Us, which was a great like mature turn, and then kind of applied that to Uncharted with Uncharted 4, with Lost Legacy, and then to keep going down this route. I mean, Last of Us Part 2 is a very dark game, and I'm just like, are they going to be like the dark studio now? This is kind of their thing. Like they're stuck doing these like hyper mature tales, which are greatly done. But I would also like totally welcome this, you know, mythical sci-fi IP that's been doing the rounds for literally like 20 years at this point. I'd like something like that.
I think for me, you know, when it comes to Naughty Dog, I just want variety. You know, I love The Last of Us. I genuinely think like the first two games, that is easily, you know, in my perhaps, if not top five, definitely like top 10 of all time, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do want more Last of Us, but I don't want only Last of Us, you know? When the first one came out, I thought, that's great. And I didn't expect them to do a sequel. And when I finished the sequel, I thought, that's great. I don't expect them to do anything else. But now, you know, with the TV show coming out, with the remake coming out, with Neil Druckmann already talking about how he's got a story outline for The Last of Us Part 3 that he wants to do one day, it's clear that it's here to stay. It's clear that it's going to be a huge part of the developer's identity, a huge part of Sony's identity, and I'm here for that, like I said, because I'm a big fan and they haven't, you know, done me wrong yet. But at the same time, you know, Naughty Dog in the past, they've been defined by what they're doing next, like the new thing. And you know, we've talked a bunch of times about how this is the first generation they haven't had a new IP, so I don't want just The Last of Us going forward. You know, I want to see maybe a sci-fi game, maybe whatever the hell else they want to do, maybe something that isn't this grim, dark, really mature, you know, 18 R-rated thing. And you know, just have that variety, because I think that's what made the studio so special, and I don't want to see them stagnate.
Well, exactly. That's kind of my thing. And I don't necessarily, you know, I don't need them to go back to Jak and Daxter or necessarily do another platformer. I just like, I don't want something to, I want it, like you said, it's just, you want variety. You want variety from these teams that are so beloved and so championed for having previously done that, having gone from a different IP across each generation. It's just, I'm curious what's next from that team, just for the sheer sake of just seeing what the hell someone like Neil Druckmann comes up with when he's not tethered to more Last of Us, especially because at the end of Part 2, when that was doing the rounds, obviously there was the whole controversy, whatever, and Druckmann was just saying that day when everything leaked and all the response to that stuff was one of the worst days of his life. And it's just like, that's such a contrast to like, oh, but let's do it again, let's try again, let's keep going. There's obviously nuance there, but it's just that idea of like trying to find a way to continue and still do a Part 3, even though at the end of 2 it feels very much done. And you know, one of the biggest strengths of that IP is the ambiguity. That's what fuels a lot of the conversations around it. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the idea of a Last of Us remake. What would you want to tweak, and do you like the idea of them overhauling it using Part 2's engine? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.